न सोहम
अप्सुकौन्तेय
प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्ययो प्रणवसर्ववेदेषु शब्दके गौरुषं ऋषु न सोहम अप्सुकौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्ययो प्रणवसर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषं ऋषु
रसोऽहम् अप्सु कौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्योयः प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दः के पौरुषं ऋषुः
रसोऽहम् अप्सु कौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्ययो प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषं ऋषु
रसोऽहम् अप्सु कौन्तेय
प्रभास्मि
शशि सूर्ययो प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषं
ऋषु
रसोऽहम् अप्सु कौन्तेय
Rasaha,
Rasaha.
Taste.
Taste.
Aham,
Aham.
Aye.
Aye.
Apsu,
Apsu.
In water.
In water.
Kaunteya,
Kaunteya.
O son of Kunti.
O son of Kunti.
Papa,
Papa.
The light.
The light.
Asmi,
Asmi.
I am.
I am.
Shashi,
Shashi.
Suryayo,
Suryayo.
Of the moon.
Of the moon.
And the sun.
And the sun.
Pranavaha,
Pranavaha,
the three letters A U M.
Three letters A U M.
Sarva,
Sarva,
in all.
In all.
Vedeshu,
Vedeshu,
the Vedas.
The Vedas.
Shabdaha,
Shabdaha,
sound vibration.
Sound vibration.
K,
K,
in the ether.
In the ether.
Paurusham,
Paurusham,
ability.
Ability.
Rishu,
Rishu,
in men.
In men.
O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Purport. This verse explains how the Lord is all-pervasive by his diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by his different energies, and in this way, he is realized impersonally. As the demigod in the sun is a person and is perceived by his all-pervading energy, the sunshine, so the Lord, although in his eternal abode, is perceived by his all-pervading diffusive energies. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink seawater because the pure taste of water is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends on the purity of the taste, and this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord. The impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste. And the personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme. Practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. One who knows God knows that the impersonal conception and personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and that there is no contradiction. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya established his sublime doctrine Achintya Bheda and Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. The light of the sun and the moon is also originally emanating from the Brahmajyoti, which is the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And Pranava, or the Omkar transcendental sound, in the beginning of every Vedic hymn, addresses the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord Krishna by his innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkar. But they do not realize that Omkar is the sound representation of Krishna. The jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere, and one who knows Krishna consciousness is blessed. Those who do not know Krishna are in illusion, and so knowledge of Krishna is liberation, and ignorance of him is bondage. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vancha Kolta Kulubhyascha Kripasindho Vrevata Pratitanam Avanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Rasoham apsukante aprapasmi sushi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke parusham nushu. People are interested in God realization, but they don't know how to achieve it. And here Krishna is giving them some direction. Because people are largely ignorant of the personality of Godhead, or they can't properly conceive of the personality of Godhead. Even if they worship the personality of Godhead in a formal sort of way, they often think that the personality of Godhead or Bhagavan is a projection from some higher truth. Actually, Brahma is supreme, and from Brahma come so many Vishnu, Shiva, so many different avatars, Ganesh, Surya. And it doesn't really matter who we worship, because ultimately we have to come to the Nirakar Brahma. So that conception is very strong, or simply people can't imagine, can't conceive that the personal identity of God. the farthest they can go is that this world is not real. This world is not substantial. So they try to go to some opposite where there's no form, no qualities, no name, no, because their experience of name, form, qualities, activities is all that these are contaminated, painful. So they think that in the liberated state, that liberation means the absence of all these things. So that misunderstanding is a little difficult to deal with, especially when, apart from that, we're attached to material enjoyment. That's another reason we can't understand the personality of Godhead, that we're covered by the material energy. We're still trying to exploit or enjoy the resources of this world. What will we understand about the world beyond this one, where our focus is here? We want to enjoy, we want to control or manipulate to make things work in such a way that our life will be happy. And we're thinking in terms of the bodily conception. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm old, I'm young, I'm this, I'm that. So with this material conception, it's also very difficult to understand the personality of Godhead. Because the personality of Godhead is fully spiritual. Apart from that, we're perhaps not even interested in the personality of Godhead. We're interested in this material world or something a little not too far off from this material world. The personality of Godhead, tadure, he's very far away. And our interest is right here. People even, they'll say, well, I don't want to think about the next world. What about right here and now? What about this world? What about this life? Next life, they don't want to think about it. So here, for such materially attached persons, or for persons who are not yet clear about the identity of the personality of Godhead, or at the same time for the devotees, the Lord gives us a way to think of him in terms of this material world. People say, well, can you show me God? I want to see God. If God is there, then can you show me God? But what can we see with our eyes? Can't even see my eyelid, which is the closest thing. Put a little piece of paper up in front of my eyes, and I can't see anything past that. Oh, what power do my eyes have? So here, Krishna is recommending another way to perceive him, not by seeing, but by tasting. Why should the eyes be the only sense? The tongue is very powerful. Even people commonly say, here's some halava, is it very nice? It is very nice. You say, let me see. So what does let me see mean? It means let me taste. Yes. I can see the halava, but I don't know if it's nice by seeing. Seeing means tasting. Let me see. Oh, it's very nice. So we see not just through the eyes, but through the other senses also. Now, rasoham. Rasa means taste. Rasoham apsu. In the water, there's a taste. Prabhupada said a very pure taste, very clean, fresh taste. So everyone likes that taste of water when you're thirsty. Water is so much appreciated. So here Krishna gives a way to think about him. I'm the taste in the water. I'm the taste in the water. It's a kind of meditation, a way to think. Now, what is it that's the essence of the water. It's a mysterious thing, actually. I mean, we pick up the water and we drink it, and it's just like that. But if a person is thoughtful, what is it about water that makes it water? What is it about water that makes it so nice? What is it about that taste that you can't get from anything else? Krishna says, it's me. I'm the essential taste of the water. And that means, while drinking water, I can think of Krishna. I can make a connection from what's near to what's far. Of course, Krishna, in another sense, he's not far. Tad bhure tad vantike, he's within us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshu arpanitishtati. But from another point of view, he's in Goloka Vrindavan so far. So I can't jump to Goloka Vrindavan and see what is Krishna. But here I am drinking water, I can taste. And I can think, though the taste of water is Krishna. And that way I can perceive Krishna. Or Prabhupada said, any liquid. Prabhupada said, I can make the drunkard Krishna conscious. That you just think that the taste of the liquor, that's Krishna. You like liquor so much. So you can think that this taste of the liquor, what is it? It's Krishna. Then you become Krishna conscious. Oh, rasoha mapsukontiya and prapa asmi shashi suryo. The light of the moon, the light of the sun are special. The moonlight is so soothing, so pleasing. When the moon is shining, it creates a very beautiful view, especially the full moon. Prabhupada mentions that on a particular full moon night, people are accustomed to go to the Taj Mahal and see the Taj under the moonlight. So the moonlight is very pleasing, you can say divine. And the sun is the opposite. The sun is heating. The sun is, when you want heat, the sun is giving heat. So cooling moonlight by night and warm sunlight during the day. Prapa. So where is that? What is that force? What is that energy? Krishna says, it's me. I'm the light of the sun. I'm the light of the moon. So during the day we see the sun, during the night we see the moon, and we can think this is Krishna, the light of the sun. That light gets reflected in different ways, electric light, but the original light, the light of the sun, the light of the moon, these are incomparable. And punyo gantha prativyam cha. Prativyam of the earth. Punyo gantha, there's an original fragrance, not much perceived these days. The cities have become so sprawling and people are living in big packed up cities with the fragrance of machines and car exhaust and who knows what else. So that they don't even experience, they don't know what the earth smells like. They know what concrete smells like, they know what garbage trucks smell like. They know what perfume smells like, but they don't know what the earth smells like because they're never out there. But sometimes, therefore, they like to visit to go on a retreat somewhere in the countryside, to go on vacation to some rural place. And they'll breathe deeply and say, oh, farmer, he gets that every day. And actually, that's human life. Fresh air, fresh water. Now it's a big thing. Bottled water, fresh mountain water from such and such place. And you pay, how much is it for half a liter of water?
$1
$1 for half a liter of water? So just to get, I mean, water, which is the simplest thing, to get ordinary, I mean, it's special water, it's natural water, it's pure water, it's got the taste of such and such spring, you know, green springs water, mountain water. Previously, that was just water. That's what everybody got, and without spending any money. But now it's a great privilege that you get bottled water for which you have to spend $1, and it comes in nice plastic, which helps the earth no end. So still, when you go to the countryside where there's a well and you get fresh water, how nice the taste is. Or you get some idea by drinking the bottled water where there's supposed to be a fresh taste. And so taste, and then you go to the countryside again, you get that nice fragrance of the earth. So that fragrance of the earth itself, I mean, consider the street doesn't have a fragrance. On this street, there's concrete and there's whatever else, but it's not fragrant. When they lay it, when the machine comes and lays it down, first it has a terrible smell, and then after a while the smell goes away, and there's no smell. But the earth has a fragrance. The earth itself has a natural fragrance. And that fragrance is pure, that fragrance is very pleasing. And Krishna says, I'm that fragrance of the earth, Punyoganta. Or from another point of view, where you get perfumes and you get all of these different scents, rose and so on, where do they come from? From the earth. You're getting the essence of rose, and they're making rose water, rose agarbati. Where's the rose flower getting that scent? From the earth. The rose, and the earth is such a thing. Rose is getting its scent from the earth. Champak is getting its scent from the earth. Jasmine is getting its scent from the earth. All the different flowers are getting their scent from the earth only. And then it's the flowers are collected and distilled, and then you buy it at the airport duty free for $30, $40 for a little bottle this big, yes? But originally that scent is coming from the earth. Punyoganta, in pure form. So Krishna says, I'm that scent of the earth. Punyoganta prithivyam cha. Prabhasmi Shashi Shuri, yes, elsewhere. So, Prabhasmi Shashi Shuri, and Pranava. The people who are interested in yoga or spiritual development like to chant Om. Om. Chanting. Yes. So people are chanting Om and they're feeling this is a very deep vibration. There's profound. And all the Vedic mantras begin with Om Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Surayaha. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnam Purna Vichas Udakshate. So many mantras. The beginning is Om. Om Namo Shivaya. Always Om. But what is that Om? Omkar. That sound vibration is a representation of the Absolute Truth. The sound of the Absolute Truth. So Krishna says, I'm that Omkar. Omkar represents me. And Shabda K, not only Omkar, but all the sounds. In the ether, there's sound. Just as now we're speaking and so many sounds are there in the form of words. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says the words that, or someone says, that the words that we use to distinguish one thing from another are actually nothing but Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So all the sounds are Krishna. Whenever we hear any sound, there's Krishna. Still, Krishna is particularly perceived in the sound of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The devotees will particularly appreciate that Krishna's, all of his energies, everything is present in his name. The name is not different from Krishna. Abhinata nami namina. But someone's not, no, I don't want to chant Hare Krishna. I don't want to hear Hare Krishna. All right, whatever sound you listen to, just think that that sound is ultimately Krishna. Think that this, okay, you don't want to chant Hare Krishna because Krishna is personal and you have Krishna phobia. You don't want to chant Krishna, you want to chant Om, because Om doesn't commit us to any particular personal manifestation. We want something impersonal. So then Om is to our liking, Om is for everyone, because there's no, just like, yes, it's for everyone, in the sense that I don't know who God is, so then Om does the job. Sort of an indicator of God without specifically, just like president. Suppose I don't know, like, who's the president of India?
Pranab Mukherjee.
Yeah, I knew the prime minister because he was just elected and he's in the headlines all the time. President is not so much in the headlines. But there he is, Pranab Mukherjee, formerly he was in Bengal. So he's the president. But suppose I don't know who the president is, just as I didn't know, didn't remember who's the president. So I don't know whether it's Pranab Mukherjee or Uma Bharati or somebody else. Maybe I don't think Lalu Prasad, but anyway, somebody's president, but I don't know who the president is. So then I can just generically say the president. That the India has a president. I don't know who it is, but I know there's a president. Or I meet someone, I've forgotten his name. Good to meet you again, sir. You know, I don't remember whether he's John or he's Jack or he's Wilson or he's Smith, but sir does the job. Sir, it's a pleasure to meet you again. Because sir is sort of sufficiently vague, sufficient, like a catch-all. You know, I can't be wrong with sir unless it's Mrs. Right? So, sir, your honor, Mr. President, these all address someone without getting particular. Sort of a generic name. So Om is like that. It addresses the absolute truth as Mr. President, or O absolute truth. And therefore the personalists can chant Om and the impersonalists can chant Om. When the impersonalists are chanting Om, they're thinking about the absolute truth impersonally. There was one Muni, Dattatreya, I think. Atri Muni. So he was meditating, underwent severe penance. You know about Atri Muni? You don't know about Atri Muni. Okay. Atri Muni was a sage, and he wanted to achieve realization. So he was standing on one leg, doing severe austerity, and praying, "May the Lord of the universe please be manifest to me. May the Lord of the universe be manifest to me." So then after many years of his meditation, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu came before him. So the Muni was very happy, but then he asked, "I was calling for the Lord of the universe, so which one of you is the Lord of the universe?" He didn't know who he was calling. The Lord of the universe, what's that? So from one point of view, Lord Brahma is the Lord of the universe because he creates it. From another point of view, Lord Vishnu, because he maintains it. From another, Lord Shiva, because he destroys it. So from one point of view, they're all Lord of the universe. So anyway, they said, "Tell you what, we'll all become your son." He wanted to have the Lord of the universe as his son. They said, "All right, well, all three of us will become your son." Well, the point is that because he was not so advanced in the science of God, he was praying to the Lord of the universe, but he didn't know who that is. Lord of the universe. Lord of the universe could be, like, again, Mr. President. Who is that? So the impersonalist chants Om and thinks of the absolute, the supreme, the ultimate. And the personalist thinks Krishna, Ram, the personality of God. There's no conflict, as Prabhupada mentions, because the personal includes the impersonal. Just as $100 includes 10, 20, 50. So everything's included in Krishna. So Shabdake and Paurusham Nishu. Everyone has some power, some capability. And Krishna says, actually, I'm that capability. When we see something, just like I was on an airplane and I saw they were showing some movie of Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Now he's like from, I guess, 20 years, 30 years back, right? But still, he's quite famous. I'm not a boxing fan. I was never. But anyway, they were showing the movie Muhammad Ali. And actually, that guy is amazing. How he was moving with his feet, how he was punching. He was, for those who are boxing fans, even those who are not boxing fans, they can see, wow, he's sharp. How was he able to do that? He's like dancing around his opponents. Where's that capability coming from? It comes from Krishna. Or from another point of view, moving away from Muhammad Ali and moving back to Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj actually challenged Hiranyakashipu. He's saying that, yes, Krishna's, you're a nonsense rascal because you're thinking that this sense gratification is everything. You'll never understand the Saru Manye, Yatatmanoya, Asanapi Kleshada Ashade, Ashadeha. This science of Krishna is, you'll not understand because you're a rascal. His father asked him, what did you learn? Nice at school? No, I didn't learn, it was all rubbish. But tat sadhu manye asurya varyadehina samat sadasamud vigna dhyam asadgrahat it vatma patam grihamandakupam vanam gato yad tarimashurit. My dear best of the demons. He's speaking to his father. Not Pitashri. Asurya Varya. Oh, demon number one. For one who's accepted this body, there's one good thing. Who are those people? Sadasamud Vigna Dhyam, whose minds are always disturbed because asatgrahat, they're grasping at something that's unreal, something that doesn't exist. For them to get out of the dark well of mundane family life and take shelter of Krishna, that's good. So he's telling this to Hiranyakashipu, who's completely against Vishnu, completely against God. And his father challenged him, you rascal, where do you get the power to speak so boldly? And the boy said that, my dear father, where you're getting your power, I'm getting my power. I've tried to kill you, the father said, in so many ways, this way, that way. Each time you've escaped, how is it possible? Yes, where you're getting your power, I'm getting my power. It's all coming from Krishna. So, Parusham Nushu, the power, the capability that a human being has, that comes from Krishna. So the Krishna wants us to see his presence in everything. And therefore in these verses, this verse, next verse, he's giving us hints of how we can think of him always. Okay, I'll stop here, see what kind of questions there are.
How many years Krishna was on the earth, and can you tell me like how many years he was in Vrindavan, then Mathura?
No, I'm terrible at math, I've forgotten. How many years Krishna was on earth? Somebody know this?
125
years? And in Vrindavan, up to like
11?
Yeah, just as a young boy, he went to Mathura to kill Kama. Then on to Dwarka. Prikshit Raj, I think, asked that question in the 10th canto, how many years? Yes?
And then you really can see,
yeah.
Right? Here we don't get the smell.
Here you don't get it. Even if you go to the countryside, you get the smell of the pesticides. Countryside here means pesticide. But it's true, you go to India, and especially in the villages, and so such a nice fragrance that the earth has.
Also very nice fragrance. Pot they make from earth.
Yeah, even the pots have a nice fragrance. Yeah.
Actually, the tortilla they also make. The tortilla also they make with the in the mud basically.
Tortilla.
Yeah, tortilla basically.
Ah.
So
the Mexicans.
Not even in India basically.
Oh.
So
tandoor, you mean a tandoor, right?
Yeah, tandoor, right.
Ah.
So tandoor.
Yeah.
So that smells basically. Compared to the normal
when we taste the food that's cooked on gas or electric, the even I think Jamuna tells that she was making some chapatis from Prabhupada with in India
with fire,
kind of wood even, and cow dung, and Prabhupada tasted it. He said, "Ah, chapati cooked with such and such wood on such and such." You know, it makes a difference. It's not the same. Mm-hmm.
Just you mentioned like we can perceive God in very impersonal way, in Om, in essence, in fragrance. Being in India, we have so many cultures. You know, somebody is singing Om all the time. So, what is the real way of liberation? Like, what is real path to go on? I feel very confused, like, you know.
Well, you're not alone in feeling very confused.
I mean, you know, you go to temple, they say, okay, you know, you chant this mantra and then you're attaining God. You sing Om, you're meditating and your sound are, you know, destroying the negativity around you. Then, you know, Krishna is the ultimate, and now again today I'm more confused.
Okay. Well, first thing is we're often confused because people invent so many things. They have so many ideas that are just invention. You know, this person is God, and that person is God, and you're God, and I'm God. So we have to go to the Shastra. It's like law, I'm confused. Well, let me consult the law book. And the essence of Shastra is Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Upanishado God. If you go to the Bhagavad Gita, you get the essence of all the Vedic knowledge. So, from the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Krishna is the ultimate truth. Matak paritaram na anyat kinchid asti Dhananjay. My dear Dhananjay, above me, kinchid asti. There's nothing above me. That means I'm the ultimate, Krishna. And this is confirmed also in Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. And in the 12th chapter, Arjuna asks, which is the better, who's better situated? Okay, who wants to? 12th chapter, text 1.
Arjuna Vacha Evam Sadhata Yukta Ye Dattatam Pariupasade Ye Chabhyaksharam Abhyaktam Esham Ke Yoga Vittamaha.
Yes. English?
Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested?
That's your question, right? So that was also Arjuna's question. There are two paths, the personal path and the impersonal path. You can subdivide it and say there's this and this and this and this, but basically it boils down to impersonal and personal. Who is better? Those who worship you in the personal way, satatam yuktam ye, those who are always connected with you in service, bhaktastam prayupasate in bhakti, or ye chapyaksharam avyaktam, the akshar avyakta, the unmanifest, absolute, kesham te. Yoga Vittamaha. Who's the best knower of yoga between the two? Text 2.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Visha Manoya Mam Nitya Yukta Upasade Sraddhaya Pariyopedas Teme Yukta Mamadaha
Yukta Tamamadaha
Yukta Tamamadaha. the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by my need to be more perfect.
Yes, most perfect.
Most perfect.
Dittama. Dittama is superlative, the most perfect. Although actually there's two, but the most perfect. So that answer is immediately given. Immediately, the Lord says, of these two paths, the one who's engaged in my devotional service is considered the best, or to be better. Maya vesha mano yema, those who fix their minds on me. Me means the person who's speaking. Nitya yukta upasate, always engaged in properly worshipping me. Shrataya pariyopetas, with great faith. Teme yuktatama, they're the best, the most intimately connected with me. And they're the most perfect. Then, in the next verses, ye tu, but aksharam anirdesham of yaktam paryupasate sarvatrigam machintyam shakutas tam machalam gruvam saniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabhutayaha te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hite vata. Eventually, the impersonalists also come to me. Those who, and it's very sort of elaborately described in detail, the avyakta, the akshara, anirdesha, sarvatraga, achintya, the inconceivable, the impersonal, absolute. By controlling their minds, controlling their senses, following their path of spiritual development, they also come to me. They also come to me. Te praptuvanti mameva. They also come to me. How is that? That's described. Bahunam janmanamante ganaman. Mam prabhupada. Why should they go to Krishna when they're not worshipping Krishna? Because eventually, because they're cultivating spiritual life, gradually, they realize the personality of Godhead. When? Bahunam janmanamante. After many, many births. Ganaman. When they really get knowledge. All right, I surrender. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. I surrender. And finally, they reach the same conclusion. But, bhavanam janmanamante, after many, many births. So, both are going to reach the same destination, but one is taking the elevator, the other is taking the stairs. Let's see if your question answered.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yes.
So today Goswami was delivered in Paranabrahma after listening the recital of Vedvyas sloka, he fell in love with Krishna.
Yes. The many examples of impersonalists.
Sukadev
Goswami is there. He was an impersonalist. But he became attracted to the personality of Godhead.
With the listening of the slokas. Listening of slokas by Vedvyas.
By, yes, by
Vedvyas
hearing
disciples.
The slokas of composed by Vyasdeva. He became attracted to Krishna. The Kumaras also, they were following the impersonal path, and they became attracted
yes,
to Krishna.
The personal path.
And they became attracted. Many examples. Because Krishna has all attractive qualities, he can attract even those who are already realized on the impersonal path.
That's where the Bhagavatam starts. I said that's where the Bhagavatam starts.
Yes, that's where Bhagavatam starts.
Maharaj, if you are worshipping Durga, So they are impersonalist or personalist?
Are the Durga worshippers personalists or impersonalists? They can be either. They can be impersonalists. I'm worshipping Durga and he's worshipping Ganesh and someone's worshipping Shiva, but it all goes to the Avyakta, Anirdesha, Nirakar, Brahma. So that means impersonalists. Because whichever path they take, they think it all leads to the same impersonal conclusion. So they compare themselves even to a man who gets to the top of a wall by using a ladder, and then he kicks away the ladder. So they're worshipping Durga, but actually they don't care about Durga, they care about the impersonal absolute. And Durga is just like the ladder that they're climbing up. And then they're done with Durga, they don't care. So impersonalists. Or, if they're very devoted actually to Goddess Durga, then they're nature worshippers. Because Durga represents material nature. She's the goddess of the material, just like the scientists. They're not interested in God, they're interested in nature. They want to, they're in wonder, all the wonders of nature, and they want to harness nature, exploit natural phenomena, natural resources. So they're very much, or they want to, they're ecologists because they want to be so nice to nature so that they can enjoy nature. But in either case, they want, their goal is let me enjoy. So they're nature worshippers. They're worshipping the material energy, finally. You know, yes. So personal, everything's personal. Just like those who are worshipping some rock stars, they're personalists, but what kind of person are they worshipping? So, you know, drug addict, foolish rascal. Some others, that's described in the Bhagavad Gita. Yaksharakshamsi rajasa kretan bhutaganam chanye. Something tamasagrita, yajante tamasagrita. People worship according to the modes of nature that they're controlled by. The person controlled by the sattvagun may be worshipping the demigods. A person in rajagun is worshipping the demons. Prabhupada gave the example that during the Second World War there was a person he knew who was making good money on the black market. So it was all thanks to Adolf Hitler. So he was worshipping Adolf Hitler. He's like, Jaya Hitler, Jaya Hitler. So personalist, but worshipping some person other than the personality of Godhead. What is that? Kamais taister hutagana prapajyante anya devata. Because their knowledge has been taken away on account of their material desires. They're worshipping this one now. Is that okay? Yes? Is there any possibility that Krishna will ask me to do what?
See the god or demigod.
To see the god or demigod? Krishna doesn't ask me to do very much, but if he asks me to go see some demigod, then why not? In Mahabharata, did Krishna tell Arjuna that you go to Lord Shiva and get these divyastras?
Yeah.
So for some particular purpose, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you go see Lord Shiva, and he'll give you some divyastras which will be useful for you in the coming war. No, Arjuna agreed. All right, let me go see Lord Shiva. Krishna is telling me. Let me go.
I recently heard that, you know, like the impersonalists, when they fall down, usually, like, you know, if someone is doing pious activities from Swargaloka, if they fall down again, they get, you know, another room and get birth. But when an impersonalist fall down, I don't know if it's true, but they become a stone, like, you know, they would become like a diamond or something, who's self effulgent.
I haven't heard, I don't know. Where did you hear? Someplace.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, one of ISKCON devotee, yeah. I don't recall hearing that.
And then I've heard that the stones have soul as well, like clouds too. And, you know, I was wondering, like, a stone breaks down, right? You know, how does that work then? Or, you know?
We break down too.
But then a soul, like, you know, it goes into a different body or... But
yeah, it will be a little difficult to understand how there's soul and everything and everything and everything. Therefore, the general understanding is that within the body there's a soul. Within the body there's a soul. But from one analysis, where you see that there's birth, there's growth, there's byproducts, children, dwindling, then death, then these are symptoms that the soul is there. So sometimes mountains, just like volcanoes, show those symptoms. So then it's taken that there's a living entity there. The trees, plants, fish, that we know. So from one angle of vision, even the atoms are, something's happening there, so the soul is there. But the simple understanding, which is probably good for us because we're simple, within the body of the living being, the soul is there. But from the Paramhansa's vision, he sees Krishna everywhere, sees the soul everywhere. Something else?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, as in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, things 1 and 2, we discussed that, worshipping the personality of Lord, is the ultimate, it's Uttama. But in various lectures, in fact in today's lecture also you mentioned that the holy name is such a powerful, basically Lord Krishna is within holy name. So, I mean, and even Prabhupada says that, you know, while you chant, you listen to the holy name. And in Lord Krishna says that, you know, you worship my personal form. So, is it okay by chanting we think of Lord's personal form?
By chanting, you may. Is it okay if you think of the personal form while chanting? It's okay, but it's not that you have to think, personal form, I have to fix my mind in the personal form. That's not required. Prabhupada didn't give us that process. Trying to get your mind thinking of the. Automatically, you may think of some Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, but the main thing is to hear and chant. Just to hear the holy name. And realization through hearing will result in every kind of realization. So naturally you'll think of Krishna's form, qualities, but you don't have to force it. Then it becomes like the meditation of the yogis. They're trying to visualize Paramatma within the heart. That's a very difficult process. Our minds are not so powerful that by meditation we'll be able to fix the object within our mind. So the process of meditation through sound is recommended. Just hear the sound. Because the sound is also not different from Krishna. But just go on chanting, go on hearing, go on chanting, go on hearing. And everything will come in due time. Is that okay? And you asked which is better, personal or impersonal, and what's the process? This chanting Hare Krishna is the recommended process for this age. In Upanishads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Shodashaka Nam Nam Kali Kalmasha Nashana Nata Paritaryo Paya Upaya Sarvabede Shudushite. These 16 words, Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam, can completely eradicate all the sinful atmosphere of Kali Yuga. Na ata paratara upaya. You won't find a better means of spiritual realization. Sarva Vedeshu Drishute. If you look through all the Vedas, you won't find anything better than this chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. And statement of the Upanishads. Is that okay? Something else? Mm-hmm. That's right. Sarva dharman pratyajya mamekam shanti. You can give up all other business and just engage in the service of Krishna.
What is the time good for the chanting Hare Krishna?
When is the good time for chanting Hare Krishna? 24 hours.
What is the auspicious time? The early morning and evening?
When you chant Hare Krishna, whatever time it is, it becomes auspicious. So it's recommended Kirtaniya Sadahari, chant all the time. Mm-hmm. Not that I have to wait for the auspicious. When you do a ceremony, like a Punya Karma ceremony, you have to wait for the right muhurta. You have to, you know, then you, like marriage ceremony, the muhurta will be such and such time, and then it's mangal. Otherwise, it's a mangal. Right? So you're waiting for the right time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smadanayana kala. For chanting Hare Krishna, don't worry about the time. 24 hours you can chant Hare Krishna. Now, that said, early morning time is especially good.
Yeah, Brahma Muhurta.
Brahma Muhurta, early morning time, for several reasons. One thing is, that's quiet, peaceful time, best time for spiritual activities. It's also before everything gets started. Because once things get started, then you're trying to chant between things. You know, you're trying to chant between things.
Chanting is while sitting on the in front of God while walking, and which way is very good?
Yeah, as you like. You can sit. You can walk. Morning time is a good time to get started. Then you can chant the rest of the day also. But morning time is good. Morning time, evening. You can chant morning and evening, especially, and it's like a sandwich. You know, you've got the beginning of the day, the end of the day, you've got Harinam. That makes your whole day. It's described about Swayambhuva Manu that he ended the day by hearing the glories of the Lord chanted. And so that's what sticks in your mind at the end of the day. You wake up and it's still in the night. It's very nice. Even in South India especially, it's still, and not only South, but especially South, custom that in the morning you'll hear the Vishnu Sahasranam chanted. Before even the Tiwalak sets up his business, you know, that early the Vishnu Sahasranam will be heard. Because that makes the day, the whole day auspicious. You're beginning by hearing Harinam. So you begin by hearing, you end by hearing Harinam. And in the middle, if you go on hearing Harinam, then your whole day is wonderful. Shall we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, glorious to Shri Prabhupada.